Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the 34th Infantry Division Association, an upcoming event to help Minnesota military families, and we'll meet the new Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Happy birthday to the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. On August 25th, 1917, the 34th Infantry Sandstorm Division was organized at Camp Cody, New Mexico. The distinctive unit patch was also created that same year by an Iowa National Guard soldier and regionalist artist, Marvin Cohn. But the division did not take on the nickname Red Bull until World War II. The division's birthday is specified as the official unit day of the 34th Infantry Division by the United States Army's Center of Military History. As such, this day is to be commemorated with stories, displays, and ceremonies of the unit's past accomplishments. I encourage you to log on to the 34th Infantry Division Facebook site and share your memories today. Attack, attack, attack.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. My co-host for today's show is the newest Command Sergeant Major of the Minnesota National Guard, the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General, Command Sergeant Major Douglas Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
And quite a position you've been elevated to, the top Senior Enlisted Advisor to the TAG.
Yes, and there's a lot to do. I'm finding that out very quickly, but very, very excited about this opportunity and what it's going to bring.
And a lot of duties and a lot of responsibilities, and we're going to get in depth to that in the fourth segment today. But in the first two segments here, we're going to talk to Brigadier General Ron Albrecht, and we're going to talk to him about the 34th Infantry Division Association. General Albrecht, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
General, I want to talk a little bit about your military career. You're retired now. How long were you in the military?
40 years. Well, Vietnam veteran up to Iraq veteran.
That's quite a period of time, sir.
Yeah.
And I understand you and the Sergeant Major served together.
Yes, we did. We served over in Iraq and in Basra.
Yes, we did. And for full disclosure, those of us that worked with him and knew him fairly well, we used to call him Curly. He authorized us to do that.
That's a fact. That is a fact.
General, can you tell us where that nickname came from?
Oh, boy, that goes way back when high school days. It just carried with me, and it seemed a lot better names than other things I've been called. So
you're the first general that I've heard with a nickname like that, sir.
Well.
What would you say, sir, were the highlights of your military career over those four decades?
Oh, I would say they're all about the same good experiences all the way through, and probably the biggest thing is that working with soldiers. The highlight of all that career, because there are so many great soldiers in the military. You just can't pin one person. It's just we got a heck of a team out there, especially with the volunteer army that we have now today. They want to be there. They want to do the right thing, and they are doing the right thing. So I guess that'd be the highlight of my career.
General, I understand your last assignment was at Joint Force Headquarters in Iowa?
Yep. I was G3 for the state of Iowa, and I retired out of there.
General, we've talked about the infamous 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls on this show for several years now, but can you explain to our listeners what is the makeup of that in terms of Minnesota and Iowa and other states?
The division is the actual Red Bull patches are worn in Minnesota and Iowa. We have the 1st Brigade of course, the division headquarters is up in Minnesota and the cities there, and 1st Brigade is in the cities. And then you have the Aviation Brigade in Minnesota. And then in Iowa, we have the 34th, the 1st Brigade. 2nd Brigade is in Iowa, and Infantry Brigade. And so 2nd 135 is part of the 2nd Brigade now, but it is a Minnesota unit. And I think I've hit them all, haven't I, Sergeant Major?
Right, and then locally we have a couple other brigade elements, the 347th Regional Support Group, our 84th Troop Command, and then you already mentioned the Aviation Brigade.
And General, the 2nd Brigade Combat Team, did you do your training up at Camp Ripley as well?
Yep, we do our training up at Ripley. It's kind of our home away from home over the years.
That's turned out to be quite a facility, hasn't it, sir?
Oh, my goodness. Since the last 10 years, that place has grown leaps and bounds, and training opportunities for soldiers to get realistic training. It's unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
In general, my understanding is with that fantastic facility close to home, that limits the number of days that our troops have to be way away from home before they go on a deployment.
Yes, that helps out immensely, especially for us in Iowa, the units in Iowa that come up there. I mean, we're there in a day, and that's major. When you do the summer convoys on the highway that everyone looks at and go, oh, my goodness, where are these guys going? So when you can get to your training area in a day's time and that's get into training, and that's good stuff.
Sergeant Major, I was in the Air Force, so if this sounds naive, it's because I was on the air side. Did the 1st Brigade Combat Team and the 2nd Brigade Combat, do you train together, or how does that work?
They do attempt to do some combined training efforts. That's a lot of people to get together in one location, though. So to a large-scale event up at Camp Ripley, I don't know how extensive they've gotten, but we do try to team up where possible to consolidate resources and, of course, assist with each other's training.
And it has to be helpful that at times you've been deployed together and you know the leadership from Iowa to Minnesota. Everybody knows who everybody is these days, don't they?
They do, and it's been great because we've had such a good relationship. I mean, we're obviously in separate states, but, you know, that's how I've gotten the opportunity to meet a guy like General Albrecht, because we had people from the 2nd Brigade deploy with the division headquarters, and it's just great to have that mixing of our leadership between both states, both organizations.
We're speaking with retired Brigadier General Ronald Albrecht and our current Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham on Minnesota Military Radio. General Albrecht, I understand that since you retired that you've become active in the 34th Infantry Division Association.
Yeah, I've been a member since 93 with the association, and it's a great organization. It was built on the fact that 1947, when the World War II Red Bull soldiers came back, they wanted that camaraderie and a chance to see their old comrades, and so they formed an association. And that association is still alive and well and growing into the next generation of Red Bull soldiers.
In general, we talked a little bit this year about the 70th anniversary of the Red Bulls' involvement in World War II, and one of the first units deployed was the 34th Infantry Division, and my understanding is they spent more days in combat than any other unit in World War II, and were involved in Africa and Italy, and really involved to engage many divisions of the German Army just prior to D-Day.
Yep. Yeah, 34th, I think that's the record. You have to correct me on this, Sergeant Major, but I think it's 517 days. One of the regiments held in continuous combat. And a little footnote to that, when the war ended, the 34th Infantry Division took the surrender from the German Army, which was the 34th German Army Infantry Division. That was kind of unique. When it was in Basra, had a VIP area that diplomats came to see General Nash and everything, and we called that Po Valley. And that's one of the World War II battle that we, the Red Bulls, fought in World War II.
General, we're gonna have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this 34th Infantry Division that's been around for almost 100 years and some of the great things they've done, and get into the mission of the 34th Infantry Division Association. So we're gonna have to. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're talking with retired Brigadier General Ron Albrecht and Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Tom Lyons here. I'm happy to introduce a new sponsor, Scott Valenskis at Edge My Way. He's all about veterans securing the best mortgage loans available, and his company can do just that. That's why he's here to let you know he's serious about helping our veterans in the best way he knows how, VA mortgage loans. He specializes in purchases, but is here to help you in any way he can with all your mortgage needs. For more information, go to veteransoftomorrow.com. That's veteransoftomorrow.com. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're here with my co-host today, Command Sergeant Major Douglas Wortham, Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. And our guest this segment is retired Brigadier General Ron Albrecht. General, we've been talking about the 34th Infantry Division Association and a little bit about the history of this legendary Red Bull force. Can you talk us through how do we tie the 34th Infantry Division back to the Civil War?
Well, in the Civil War, the 1st Minnesota Regiment served at Gettysburg, and as most historians know, that's what the finding light of the battle there. I forget if it's on the first or second day of the battle, the four-day battle, and the Minnesotans held the line for that day and saved the day. That 1st Minnesota did that. Out of that regiment, I think there's only like 27 or 30-some soldiers left out of that regiment. So that historic stand carried through into the 34th Division with Minnesota, Iowa units, and we even had the North and South Dakota units and Nebraska units to be part of the original 34th Division and went to World War II.
So the division can trace its lineage all the way back to the Civil War.
Yep.
The general, the sergeant major, thinks I remember that, and I was part of the regiment, but I'm not quite that old.
Well, you better have a talk with the sergeant major.
You're putting words in my mouth now, Tom.
Well, that's all right. We'll get to that later. General, the division through World War II and for nearly 100 years is well regarded and respected all across the country.
Oh, yes. Yeah. If you go to the Pentagon today, and you'll find a Red Bull patch mural in the Pentagon of the soldiers that were in Afghanistan and soldiers that were in Iraq. So when a National Guard division patch gets into the Pentagon, that's something to say for itself.
In general, my understanding from interviewing the 1st Brigade Combat Team and a number of other people over the last 4 years is that the division and all of the Minnesota National Guard has got a readiness status that's right up there with the active duty forces.
Oh, yes. Yep. They're number one in the nation on the division level.
Sergeant Major, you got something to live up to there.
Well, yes, I do. Thanks for putting all this pressure on me, Tom. I really, really appreciate that.
Just your first week in office, Sergeant Major.
I'll add that to the list of things I got to make sure I keep a handle on. The good thing is that we have great people in key leadership positions, and they keep their thumb on this type of a thing to ensure that we are at a ready state, and we are here for when the call comes in, whether it's for local or national type emergency.
Well, it's got to be good to have the reputation for being a go-to force that's ready to go out and get it done, and your readiness status being right up there with anyone else, and having great soldiers to back that up and ready to go whenever they're needed.
It's a great feeling, and there's a ton of pride that comes along with that. Just by wearing the uniform and of course being a member of the Minnesota National Guard.
General, you were part of a 34th Infantry Division, a great unit, and now that you're retired, I understand you're the president of the 34th Infantry Division Association.
Well, I'm past president. I'm the chapter president. I get retrained or something like that, but yes, I used to be president of the association.
We're speaking with retired Brigadier General Ron Albrecht and Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham on Minnesota Military Radio. General, can you tell us what's the mission of the 34th Infantry Division Association?
Well, one of the number one goals that the association wants to achieve is still earlier was back in World War II. They wanted to build that camaraderie, that ship they built in World War II, and go talk about that and take care of those soldiers as they came back, and times were so good for them, and so you always had a comrade there to work with them. And that's one of the first things that the association built on. And I think the main, the new generation, what that we're looking for the association is to take care of our soldiers that wore the Red Bull patch from Afghanistan, Iraq, and anytime they've deployed over. We've had Red Bull soldiers in Kosovo, Bosnia, the Sinai, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan. So that Red Bull patch has been around the world here in the last 10, 15 years, too. So our focus is to help those soldiers that need help that wore that Red Bull patch.
In general, where are your chapters located?
We have a chapter in that is the Commander's Own chapter. It's up at Rosemont there at the division headquarters. And then we have a chapter in Des Moines chapter, and that's in Johnson, or right next to Camp Dodge in Iowa.
And, sir, do you have some events coming up for the association?
We do. One of the things we're doing right now, I know we have a booth sitting out at Minnesota State Fair right now for the association, and what we're trying to do is let 34th Division soldiers know about the association, and it's been kind of the best-kept secret. You know, those World War IIers, they didn't want to share too much of that, but we all wore the Red Bull patch, and we want to get them all out there so they're aware of that. So they have a booth out at the State Fair there for you in Minnesota. And then in Iowa, we have what they call a poker run, which it is in honor of one of our soldiers that died in Afghanistan. And then they're having a motorcycle run to raise money for a benefit for the community there. And so the 34th Division Association there with that one, too.
So, General, you're looking for former 34th Infantry Division soldiers to join the association and...
Yep.
And help maintain the history of the division?
That's what we're looking for, from Iowa, Minnesota. Actually, there's soldiers that wore, like I said earlier, wore patches in the Dakotas. North Dakota was part of the Engineer Brigade that used to be part of the division, and there's some units in Nebraska and like that that wore the patches, too. And what we're saying is that as long as they wore a Red Bull patch, they're eligible to be part of the association.
In general, when and why did you join the association?
Well, I joined the association, like I said earlier, in 93, and the reason I joined, a gentleman walked into an armory out of the 1st and 133 Infantry Battalion in Waterloo, Iowa, and his name was Ed Kelly. And Ed Kelly said, you know, I'm part of this organization. And, you know, he's part of this organization because he went to World War II, and he was there for 4 years. And kind of grown attracted to the guy, and he said, well, we need to start a chapter here. And so that's when we formed a chapter in the 1st 133. And it was basically to see and hear the stories and listen to the, you know, what these soldiers did in World War II is one of the reasons I joined. And what they did for the nation and what they kept giving it. Not just in the association, but a lot of those World War II veterans became dominant people in their communities, their states, and in the nation, too, as you well know.
In general, who's eligible to become a member, and how does someone do that?
Well, they can go to our website, www.34infdiv.org, which is 34th Infantry Division.org. And in there, there will be a place where they can register to become part of the division association. And as long as they wore a Red Bull patch, they're more than eligible.
And we'll have a link to that website up on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. General, we just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about the division and or the association?
Last minute thought is that this is a great organization because it's a great division that we all serve with. And if everyone's really interested in becoming part of the organization, look into it, see if it's for you. And I think it'll be one of your better choices you make.
General Curly Albrecht, it was a great pleasure to talk to you and hear from you again. I look forward to seeing you sometime in the future.
You bet, Sergeant Major. You keep the high ground now.
Yes, sir. Count on it.
General, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
That was retired Brigadier General Ron Albrecht, along with Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham on Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk to you about the upcoming event to help Minnesota military families. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, along with my co-host for today's show, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. And joining us now from Birdies for the Brave is Alan Cull from TPC Twin Cities. Alan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Alan, I know you just had a real busy session up there at the TPC. You just finished the 3M Championship.
We sure did. It's a great week. We had the greats of golfing with Mr. Nicholas and an exciting finish once again with Kenny Perry making birdie in the last hole. So it was a great week and raised a lot of money for charity in the local community.
Sergeant Major, did you get to watch any of that championship?
No, Tom, I didn't.
Your annual training, I suppose.
Catching on with this new job.
Oh, a little busy catching on with getting ready for the Adjutant General.
Yes, right. Indeed.
Alan, we've got you on today because not only do you do the 3M Championship, and 3M is a big supporter of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. We just finished the MMFF Golf Classic over there recently. And we've got another event coming up this fall, Birdies for the Brave. Can you tell us about it?
You bet. Well, back in 2006, the PGA Tour wanted to find a way to help those that serve our country. And through the cooperation of some tour players, specifically Phil Mickelson, they launched Birdies for the Brave, which is our national initiative to raise awareness and also funding for 9 different home front groups that benefit the military that serve us and their families. And it's been a fun run here since 2006, a little over $12 million raised since 2006, going to some very worthy causes.
Alan, for our listeners who might not be familiar, can you tell us about the TPC Twin Cities? You're now the senior general manager?
Yeah, we opened back in 2000. We're owned by the PGA Tour, the folks that you see on TV on the weekend. We're specifically a private club, 420 members of our club, both social and golf. Play about 18,000 rounds of golf a year, and many of the pillars of our society, both personal and work, are members of the club, and it's a great place.
And, Alan, the PGA Tour supports not only our military, but it supports us here in the Twin Cities with Birdies for the Brave.
You bet, yeah.
Good partner.
It is, and it's a great group of people. Obviously, a charity is, as we say, at the heart of the PGA Tour through a program that we call Together Everything's Possible, and the tour in general has raised over $2 billion for local charities throughout the United States since its inception as well.
And how many Birdies for the Brave events take place each year?
We've got 27 throughout our properties that we own and partner facilities throughout the United States, in addition to many PGA Tour events specifically that host what we call Patriot Outposts, where we partner up with local community businesses to sponsor tents where the troops and their family can come out, watch some golf, and enjoy the excitement.
And Alan, what type of organizations benefit from the largesse of the PGA Tour and
yeah.
Birdies of the Brave?
Great question, Tom. With the 9 different home front groups, they have changed over the years, but primarily, you know, names you've probably heard of, the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, Homes for Our Troops, a great program started a few years ago called United Through Reading, David Faraday's Foundation. So all very worthy causes that have been vetted out through the PGA Tour. We work closely with the Wounded Warrior Project in many initiatives as well. So a lot of great causes, including MMFF.
Sergeant Major, when I got back from Vietnam 40-some years ago, there weren't a lot of organizations doing anything to support the troops. It's pretty good time for troops today. There's organizations all over the country and a lot of in Minnesota trying to help support the troops and their families.
It's such a great thing to see and how the community has been able to come together and really support all of our soldiers, airmen, any of our troops.
Those are a great thing to see, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Got to be some great resources for a command sergeant major.
Absolutely, Tom.
Alan, what's back to Birdies from the Brave. We're speaking with Alan Cull from TPC Twin Cities. And, of course, we've got my co-host today, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, with us. Alan, this is Minnesota Military Radio. Alan, what's the local involvement here in Minnesota?
Well, you know, for us, we have an event that we host on October 11th called the Be Brave 5K Walk Run. And then on the 13th of October, we have our Pro-Am that we host. So two-day event. Folks through 3M, Allianz, many of our corporate partners here with the PGA Tour and also the club are very cooperative. So some really fun stuff. And again, it's all for a great cause.
And Alan, you've been doing this, Birdies for the Brave, for a few years. What kind of turnout do you get?
You know, we get some great turnout. I mean, our Pro-Ams, back in the day when we first started, it was a one-day event, Tom. Then we morphed into a two-day Pro-Am, and it got to a point where it got a little, I don't want to say too big, but it got a little cumbersome. So we went back to this Be Brave 5K walk run that we started last year, which was very popular. And we can expose more people to bringing awareness to the troops and their families and also raise more money through not just golf, but also physical fitness and walking in the 5K initiative.
And Alan, as we said when we first started out, this year a new beneficiary of Birdies of the Brave, a local organization, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, is going to participate in the event and be a beneficiary of some of the proceeds. Can you tell our listeners how you arrived at that?
Well, you know, it really came down to talking to some folks here through the National Guard years ago, and we met with Denny Schulstead, General Schulstead here, gosh, it was probably 6-7 years ago. They had heard what we were doing with Birdies for the Brave, had a nice lunch, and introduced to yourself and MMFF and also the other, I apologize for the name, Tom, but the other Minnesota military-based foundation, and you and I struck up a conversation, and here we are today.
Yeah, it took a while to get here, but we're excited about this event and all the good work you've been doing up there. Can you tell our listeners, what does the TPC Twin Cities do to give back to the military community?
You bet. Well, in addition to our event that we host, we do numerous troop initiatives. Like last year, we had August was Military Appreciation Month, and we've had, through some contacts through Camp Ripley, we've had folks out playing golf. These last, I want to say it's 3 years now, we've had some folks from the Guard and Reserve and other branches out helping during the 3M Championship with flag bearers on the 18th hole, which has been a really great addition to the 3M Championship. And then obviously through friends of the TPC, we extend our help wherever we can through the Yellow Ribbon community in Blaine and then also other golf initiatives.
You're doing an awful lot there to help the military community, but it's been a great partnership with the Minnesota National Guard, hasn't it?
It has. Some great people, and obviously, you know, it's the least that we can do as a community to help those that serve us and keep us free and safe every year, and we're just glad that we can be a part of it.
Sergeant Major, if I'd have been able to talk to you last year, you might be able to play in this thing. This year, you'll probably be too busy.
Well, I don't know if it'd be a good idea for you to have me playing anyway, especially if you've ever seen me on the golf course, but I do enjoy being outside and taking a whack at a ball every once in a while.
So some of those errant shots, we might have to yell incoming?
Probably duck and take cover.
Alan, I think we could probably find a spot for the Sergeant Major, couldn't we?
Anytime, by all means.
Somewhere safe where no innocent bystanders would get hurt.
We've got a nice comfy golf cart for him, no problem.
Yeah. I will tell you, I'm pretty good if it's a best ball type of tournament, so
we can make that work.
Alan, can you tell us the dates and a little bit about the tournament and the race?
You bet. Again, it's October 11th. It's a Saturday. You can find out information through tpctwincities.com. On the website, go to our charity tab, and you'll see the Birdies for the Brave icon. Registration can be done online. And then also on the Monday Pro-Am, we have 20 different Minnesota Section PGA professionals playing with our members, guests, and it is open to the public, so anybody can sign up. And again, 100% of the net proceeds go back to the home front groups and as well MMFF, so we're glad to help in that way.
Alan, there'll be people all over Minnesota hearing the message today, so you've still got some openings and they can still come down and participate.
We do have a few, but it's filling up fast, so get to that website quickly.
And once again, the website?
TPCTwinCities.com.
TPCTwinCities.com. And Sergeant Johnny will have a link to that on the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page for anybody that missed it. Sergeant Major, any final questions for Mr. Cull? He's doing a great job, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing a fantastic job. Just wondering, maybe you wanted to give me some advice.
Well, the standard keep your head down is not a good one, but the key is go out and have fun. As I told you earlier at lunch, it's not how good you play. If you're Tiger Woods and you have a bad week and you can't feed your family, that's one thing. But if you're just an average guy out playing golf or girl, just go out and have fun. That's the key.
Well, that's some great advice. I definitely have fun. I'm not making a living at it, though.
There you go.
Sergeant Major, if we have to field a team for the Minnesota National Guard, I bet you could find a few folks that know how to do this.
I think I know a few.
Alan, one last time, appreciate your coming in today to talk about Birdies for the Brave, and thank you for supporting the local charity, Minnesota Military Family Foundation. We're excited about this partnership, and we hope it goes on for years. And the event, one more time?
Birdies for the Brave, October 11th and October 13th.
All right. We'd like everybody to go to that website and go to the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site to check it out. Hope you have a great event, and I hope to see you up there. Alan, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll be back in a moment with a message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we'll dig in deep with our newest senior enlisted advisor to the Minnesota, to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Douglas Wortham. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Tom Lyons here. I'm happy to introduce a new sponsor, Scott Balinskas at Edge My Way. He's all about veterans securing the best mortgage loans available, and his company can do just that. That's why he's here to let you know he's serious about helping our veterans in the best way he knows how, VA mortgage loans. He specializes in purchases, but is here to help you in any way he can with all your mortgage needs. For more information, go to veteransoftomorrow.com. That's veteransoftomorrow.com. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an in-depth look at the new senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Chaletot.
Come visit the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, also known as MDVA, at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The department will host a booth at the Agriculture Building for the duration of the state fair. Our staff will be on site with County Veteran Service Officers to ensure veterans who stop by get the best knowledge, resources, and referrals in terms of state and federal benefits. MDVA also works in collaboration with several other organizations at the Veterans Booth. The Federal VA, the American Legion, and the VFW are just a few of the organizations we bring together to offer a wealth of resources to our visitors. The Minnesota State Fair takes place on August 21st through September 1st. More information about the fair can be found at minstatefair.org. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Commissioner Chaletot. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Our co-host today has been Command Sergeant Major Douglas Wortham. And Sergeant Major, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. We want to dig in a little bit and find out what a sergeant major is and what a command sergeant major is, but can you tell me a little bit how long you've been in the military?
I have been serving now in the Minnesota National Guard for 26 and a half years.
But you must have, in those 26 years, been through a lot of different positions.
I have, and I'll tell you, it's been kind of like a transformation for me. I was a junior in high school, not knowing what I was going to do yet. My senior year comes around, I'm 17 years old, and my best friend is going to join this organization called the Minnesota Army National Guard. I really had no idea what that was, but here's what I knew. I wanted to go to college, and my mom and dad said, good luck. So my buddy, who had a brother in the Army National Guard, an MP at the time, said, hey, here's a great opportunity, a good way to pay for college. So my plan was to join, spend about 6 years in the military, get my college paid for, get out, and then have a great, successful life in the business world. After that first tour of 6 years and a deployment to Desert Shield, Desert Storm, I really kind of transformed from using this just for an opportunity to go to college, but more of an opportunity to pay back. It's been such a great organization to me. It's helped me out so much. So I decided I was going to stay in, and I pursued an active duty career, but still within the Minnesota National Guard. So I've moved from an MP unit. I spent a year out at the National Guard Bureau in Arlington, Virginia, at our National Guard Readiness Center. And then I came back to Minnesota in about 96 to be a recruiter. So I recruited for the Minnesota Army National Guard for 3.5 years. And after that, I decided that it was time to make another change and get into the unit business, where I worked as a unit readiness NCO, just making sure that the training was set up, the organization was fit to make sure we could maintain the readiness that we've talked about previously. And, you know, next thing I know, things just start kind of happening for me. And I move up the ranks again. I take another position. I move from Wilmer, Minnesota, where I was a recruiter and a training readiness NCO, to now I'm coming down to the cities, and I'm working in our J3, which is where the operations cell is for the Minnesota National Guard. And all along, I'm moving up through rank. And finally, I get to the rank of Sergeant Major, where I worked with the 34th Infantry Division in the operations cell there, deployed with the division, as we talked about already when we had General Albrecht on. And during that deployment, I had the opportunity to become a Command Sergeant Major. And a Command Sergeant Major is the senior enlisted person in the organization. And that was at the battalion level. After the deployment, I came back, of course, returned to Minnesota, spent another 2 years within that same battalion, had the opportunity then to move to our regional training institute, the RTI. It's the regiment up at Camp Ripley. It's the training institute. That's where they hold like our professional development type courses, training courses for soldiers that are reclassifying into different jobs. And that's a brigade level organization. And I spent just over a year there, and then had an opportunity to go to the recruiting battalion. And I spent the last about 8 months at our recruiting battalion here in Minnesota. So now I've done full circle, recruited. Now I'm back in recruiting. And then just had the opportunity to apply for and now be selected to be the Minnesota National Guard Senior Enlisted Advisor. And so you're going to ask me, what was the significance of that? And again, as I mentioned, that's the senior enlisted person in the organization. So for the Minnesota National Guard, which is both Army and Air, I am the senior enlisted guy. I report right to, of course, our Adjutant General, General Nash, and he relies on me to make sure that I have the pulse of our soldiers and our airmen and bring to him issues and solutions to what kinds of things our soldiers and airmen are facing within our organization.
Sergeant Major, that's a good story. Somewhere along the line in there, you went from being a civilian into being a lifetime soldier. Do you know when that happened?
Well, it happened probably when I deployed the first time. I was actually in college. I was going to St. Cloud State, and I was starting my second year up there, so a sophomore, and we got the call. We were going to be mobilized, and I've pretty much been on active duty ever since then. So
that was about 21 years ago when Iraq invaded Kuwait.
That's right. Yep. 1990-91.
Where'd that 20 years go, Sergeant?
Yeah, it went by fast.
So for those of us, as I said, I was Air Force, and for those of us that weren't in the Army or in the Army National Guard, at each level, battalion, division, state level, those commanders, battalion commander, division commander, they have a senior enlisted sergeant major.
Right.
And what can you describe that relationship between the commander and the sergeant major?
Well, it's a team. We call it a command team. And we have to, you know, quote unquote, have each other's back. We rely on each other, make sure that we're in sync with the same themes, same messages. And we have to be on the same sheet of music all the time because we are the ones that the organization is looking to for direction of the force, looking for guidance and that type of thing. They're looking for us to set the example for them. And so we have that very close knit relationship because people are looking at us to see that we have that.
Make decisions and figure out how to get it done.
That's absolutely right.
We're speaking with Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Major, we've got about 3 minutes left. Your new position, state level, the senior, the highest ranking senior enlisted advisor, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. What a wonderful position, and you made it to the top. There's a lot of responsibility that goes along with that, isn't there?
Well, there is a lot of responsibility, and like I said before, we've got to make sure I'm in sync with what the Adjutant General has for priorities because I have to be able to carry that message. And, you know, the big thing for me is going to be making sure that I do have that pulse of our soldiers and our airmen because I have to be able to report to the Adjutant General, let them know how things are going.
So are there some special duties for you? You're going to be traveling a lot around to the different commands. What does the Command Sergeant Major do?
Well, The Command Sergeant Major, obviously, like I said, I've got to be able to read that pulse. So that means I'm going to have to do some traveling and spend some time out where the soldiers and airmen are. They're not going to come to my office. So I've got to get out to where they are, get in front of them face-to-face, have some town halls, open forums so we can have open and candid conversations, hear about what their true issues might be so that I can try to formulate some type of a response or a solution so that we can maybe initiate or institute new programs if that's what we need within our organization to help some of the issues that they might be having.
So some of that's like a sounding board and go out and find out what's really going on and then come back and talk about it.
Absolutely. One of the things we've found is that soldiers and airmen like to talk to someone other than their immediate chain of command, and they'll generally tell you the truth about what's going on. So that's what I got to do is go out and find the truth and make sure that, like I said, I'm really getting that pulse.
Sergeant Major, have you been over talking to a lot of airmen?
As a matter of fact, I was just out at the 133rd last week, and they had their big family day out there, and it was a great event, and I'll be heading up to the 148th here in another couple of weeks to get together with their family day and meet up with their council, their command council.
Sergeant Major, we've got about a minute left, and are there any final thoughts you have about this job and the position and the big responsibility going forward?
You know, there are some things that I want to focus on, and some of the big things is mentorship within our force. I think that that's truly important. If it wasn't for great mentors, I would have never gotten to where I am today.
Sergeant Major, good luck in this new position, and we look forward to talking to you quite often on the radio going forward to see how you're doing.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and I look forward to our relationship as well and spending the next few years with you and doing this program.
Thank you, sir. That was Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, retired Brigadier General Ron Albrecht, Alan Cull from Birdies of the Brave, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelladoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we'll be at the Minnesota State Fair covering topics important to our veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.